It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Tuesday. Exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
There's a snap, fakes the handoff, going to roll to his left, has time, throws deep over the middle, he overshoots Thomas, intercepted by DeMar Hamlin, coming the other way to the 45 as he races to the far sideline and is tackled at the 41-yard line by Farrell. Back to pass, blitz is coming, gets away from it, no, he's wrapped up and sacked. Jamarcus Ingram on the corner blitz. Now fourth and goal from the 17, empty set. Three to the left, two to the right. Lawrence back to pass in the shotgun. Pressure coming from Von Miller, and he catches him from behind for the sack. Back to pass, pumps, and the ball is stripped. Javon Solomon sacked him, stripped the football, and Casey Tuhill is all over it. Javon Solomon.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, good morning. Victory Tuesday. Jeremy and Joe with you. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on a Tuesday. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We'll talk with Sal at 8. Chris Brown joins us at 8:30, looking back on this game. The Jacksonville side of the story is, so I've found two things. One, going into the season, Jags owner Shad Khan said, make no mistake, this is the best Jaguars team ever assembled. Players, best coaches ever assembled. He had high expectations for this season, as you might expect when you say it's the best team that you've ever assembled. Demetrius Harvey, who is a Jaguars reporter for Jacksonville.com, said last night, someone close to Jags owner Shad Khan to me tonight says, this is angrier than I've ever seen Shad. He's usually a reserved, kind gentleman. Not tonight. End quote. So I don't know if the Jags are going to make a change off that. The Bills, man, everything looks like it's going right. Their defense looks tremendous, and the offense, seeing what Joe Brady has done. I mean, for me, Joe Brady called like a perfect game. If you could ever, you know, make your calls on how an offense looks, they dropped back, they put the ball all over the place. It looked like peak Bills of these last four or five seasons. They've been a great passing team many times. And they've dropped the numbers of how often they pass. But yesterday, a very pass-heavy game plan, matchup-specific, if you'd like it that way. Probably the reason why they did it. Brady knew Josh Allen shreds man-to-man defense, and they absolutely shredded it.
It really is a treat, like the caller or the texter that said last hour about, like, don't always worry about just are they going to win the Super Bowl and just enjoy the game sometimes. Watching Allen just throw the football. Some of it that isn't even, won't even make his highlight reel. The Ty Johnson touchdown. Yeah. He's rolling to his left, just flicks the wrist, 25 yards in the air, and it's just right in the perfect spot. Like that play almost looks effortless for him. That is maybe the most incredible thing is he was so inaccurate out of college and even as a rookie. And now it just feels like, yeah, wherever he wants to put the ball, like it's going to go there. There isn't even like a little. Is he ever off on a throw anymore?
It's not often.
It's so rare. Last night, I'm not sure he one time threw a pass and the ball didn't go where he wanted it to go. The Johnson one is an example of that. Everything. The Kincaid one. He's rolling to his right. That's not the easiest throw in the world. There are a few quarterbacks starting in the league that would not make that throw. Kincaid's running full speed to the corner, and Allen's rolling right, and on the run, ball's exactly where it should be every single time.
803-0550. On the offense, on the defense, give us a call. We have open lines, a couple open spots if you want to jump in on your takeaways from last night's rousing celebration against Jacksonville. It was a statement. It's not a standalone game. That's the thing. Like, it's a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. But, you know, everybody saw what happened. Hey, how's the AFC looking? Well, the Bengals are 0-3. The Jaguars are 0-3. The Texans just got whomped last week.
Yep.
The Chiefs look, okay. 3-0, but shaky. And here are the Bills dropping a just absolute hammering on Jacksonville.
They are now number one in the NFL in point differential.
Sounds familiar.
The only team above them is the New Orleans Saints. Or, excuse me, the team right behind them is the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
Only team close to them.
803-0550.
Actually, you know who second in the AFC is in point differential? Because the next three teams go New Orleans, Minnesota, Seattle.
Is it, can I guess?
Go ahead.
Is it Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh has given up 10 points in all their games.
They're in a tie.
Okay.
Pittsburgh and the Chargers.
There you go.
Are plus 25.
Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Joe and Jeremy. This is a great morning. You know, last night during the game, I actually stepped out my front door and I listened. I could hear Hallmark Stadium all the way here in Fairfield, Connecticut. That place was rocking. So, Jeremy, I have to bring up something. I am going to ship my coffee table to you so you can jump through it. Because I think Shakir has finally made his point. Remember last year when I said to you, I think we should make Shakir number two behind Diggs. And you said, the day that happens, I'm going to jump through your coffee table. So I'm going to have it shipped to you so you can jump through it. All right? And the other thing I want to say is, it was weird last night. It was weird for Jacksonville. The weird science that Joe Brady put together, the DNA of that game, scientifically put together a game plan that the offense executed so well last night. It was unbelievable. I didn't even have to see the game. It was just nice to listen to. And I want to hear the wide receiver horn go off today. I want to hear that wide receiver train horn go off at least once today. You guys, the way you described the game, I visualize everything. It's awesome. And also, I want to hear from my girl, Gina from Delaware. If I don't hear from her today, I'll be very disappointed. But you guys always kill it. I'm glad you guys are enjoying the morning at work. Have a great day.
Thanks, Rob. So, yeah, like Shakir, from year one where he didn't play, year one, like he barely played. Last year, it took a while to get him as part of the offense, and then it started to really blossom. And now, yeah, whether it's the changing way that teams play or Allen's trust in him, like it just works. It works. He never, like, he's reliable. He makes catches. He's just a pain. He's such a pain.
Yeah,
he's probably such a pain to play against. He is, for all the ideas about replacing Cole Beasley, he is a better Cole Beasley.
Yeah. I think he's gotten more in the tool bag, at least, than Cole Beasley does, right? Like he,
yeah. And that's due respect to Beasley, who was a 100 and whatever target guy in this offense. Like Beasley was a feature.
Yeah, didn't he have just under 1,000 yards? Yeah, 967 for the Bills in that second year. But there's an extra gear with Shakir that when Steve Palazzolo tweets, hey, the Bills with all their slot receivers might actually have the perfect setup for today's league. Well, like part of the reason why is that is their slot guys, even if I include Coleman in this, even though I know he's not playing in the slot much at all, but, you know. Maybe he will. If you even include him with Shakir and Samuel, all of their slot guys are pretty dangerous with the ball in their hands. They all create after the fact. And that is the difference. That is the uniqueness to this receiving group, that when they had their peak, John Brown was a route runner. He was catching balls down the field. He wasn't amazing with the ball in his hands after. Diggs, same thing. Diggs will get open on every play. But is he amazing with the ball in his hands after? He's pretty good, but he's not amazing. And Beasley was not giving you really anything in that department. Sanders at that age wasn't really giving you anything in that department. They had and Davis, same thing. They had like a nice receiving core, but to get to the first guy where you have to really think, okay, maybe he can create something once the ball in his hands, it's like number five on the depth chart when you get to Isaiah McKenzie. And right now, a strength of the Bills receiving group that we're seeing kind of blossom through three games is they have three receivers that all are probably, and even a tight end in Kincaid, that all look pretty dangerous when they catch the ball at the line of scrimmage. And that has not been something that they've always had.
Thinking about this yak conversation, you have to go back 2 years to when Ken Dorsey showed up and started talking about Yak. The Bills were bad. The Bills were 32nd in the NFL in yards after catch, and Dorsey showed up and wanted yards after catch.
Okay.
And they finished 31st.
Right. I remember that.
And
they went up one spot.
Maybe, whatever. Like, we're probably, if you want to say, prisoner of the moment and what things look like right now. I feel like, Joe, the switch from Dable to eventually where we are now was the Bills losing and searching for an identity. Because what did they want to do? All right, we want to be a Yak team. Didn't happen. Okay, Kincaid 12 personnel. Things are weird. This doesn't look right. Dorsey fired. Brady steadies things out. And now a Joe Brady offense maybe Joe Brady's offense just knows what it is a little bit more than Ken Dorsey's ever did. Because the goal for him is Yak. And what does he get? He gets Yak.
Yeah.
The fact that Ken Dorsey came into a team that was 32nd in the league and said, we got to get better at this, and he moved up one spot is incredible. So whether that's players or routes, I've got some numbers for you on Beasley versus Shakir. Yards after catch per reception.
Okay.
Beasley, in his 3 years with Buffalo, topped out at 4.9 yards per catch after reception for the year.
Okay.
Shakir is at 7.2. No, I'm sorry. That was last year. He's at 8.4.
So double.
Double.
Yeah.
You have a guy that gets open in the slot.
And he's creating four more yards for every time he catches
play.
It. Yeah.
Per reception, 8.4 yards after catch per reception.
I mean, you're seeing why. Like, he's... I said this earlier in the year. He's kind of built like a running back almost. Maybe not totally, but he kind of runs like one. The contact balance, right? But the quickness that he has too. The spin move at the goal line yesterday. That hit that he took at the goal line, I immediately went, uh-oh.
Yeah, a little scary.
But then he immediately got up, so it was fine. But even like the spin move right before that, he breaks a tackle before that. That's really the big difference, isn't it? Khalil Shakir can break tackles. Cole Beasley could not break tackles. He could run a little bit, but if he was met with a corner, the corner was probably tackling Cole Beasley. If a corner comes face-to-face with Khalil Shakir, it is not a guarantee at all that he's going to tackle that guy. Yesterday you saw he broke on the touchdown. He kind of runs away. It's a little bit of contact from behind. It's not enough contact to bring him down. He's too solid. And then one-on-one with a defensive back at the goal line, spin move. I'm in.
He fights. He plays hard. 803-0550. Mike in PA. Hey, Mike. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yesterday I called in and I said, hey, we need to line the tight ends tight and run the ball down their throats. What I really meant to say is we need to do a lot of motion and have Josh Allen just unload on them guys. I was super impressed with the offensive line, which we got to start talking about the offensive line. They are road graders and people mover and Josh Allen, I've never seen him, maybe with the exception of a handful of games, I've never seen him in command of the offense like I seen last night. Well done, Bills, and I look forward to seeing what we can do against Baltimore next week.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, Allen, it's hard not to get lulled into boredom, taking it for granted. We had this conversation during training camp. There had been training camps where we would, after practice, say, like, how many good throws were there today? Right? Did insert quarterback here. I don't want to take a shot at anybody. Did so-and-so have any nice plays? And like, well, there was one throw.
Mm-hmm.
The two-minute drill they strung together. And with Allen, it's just like, we don't even talk about it. Because just routine, he's just he's incredible. And he might be playing the best he's played. Mistake-free.
Well, there are no mistakes. And count sacks for that. He's taken two sacks in three games. He has no interceptions. His passer rating's number one in the league. So efficiency-wise, it's there. He's doing a little of both, right? Like, he's doing the ordinary stuff. It was not a guarantee when he came in the league he'd be able to do this. Now it's easy, right? Now you don't think about it. The fourth down call, which, by the way, what a call by Brady. It's like that orbit motion that we had learned the term of.
They did it again on fourth down.
Shakir comes out to the left, and there's just nobody there. And Allen puts it right out in front of him. There's a Cook kind of dump off, too. Same thing. Like, puts it right out in front of him so he can run into it and get yardage. So you have all the easy throws. Like, he's making them every time. And then you are seeing some big plays. It's almost weird that they're happening to, like, running backs. Ty Johnson has two, I think, of their longest passing plays of the year so far. The touchdown yesterday and then the one against Jalen Ramsey. Like, he still does, even in this offense where I think there's more stuff happening by design, there's more at the line of scrimmage. I'm sure his ADOT, his average depth of target, is lower than it's been. But you still are seeing him being capable of, once this play breaks down and I'm scrambling around, like, I can still, on the run, make a throw 25 yards down the field right on the money.
Yeah. And the fact that these, like, again, passing the ball to running backs, when they drafted James Cook, they had an idea of a pass-catching back and whether that's different guys they brought in along the way. Joe, what you're describing there for Allen to make those kind of throws, that requires buy-in from him. The guy that used to whip it down the field as much as anybody, to great success and highlights and wow plays, has bought into taking the easy button or taking the route that's coming free in front of him and letting that guy make plays with his legs. And it's just like, it's back to that point about what Dorsey's offense couldn't quite get done for Allen, that Brady's offense has been getting done for Allen. The yards after catch, the trust about, you know, you've got a guy in a good position and he can catch it and move. And James Cook, I mean, he had that drop, but otherwise he continues to just be, again, like the Bills have guys that are pain. They're just a lot of pains. Cook's a pain. You get him out in space, like, he's just good enough to beat you, make you look stupid, run past you, get a couple extra yards.
Even on that drop, it's you get him one-on-one with a linebacker.
Oh, it's over.
He is behind him.
Yep.
It's not over because he might drop
him. That's true.
but that's how it's getting stopped. You're not catching up to him. By the way, that play, I tweeted this. Like, my thought on that drop is you have to live with those from James Cook, and you also have to keep that in mind if it's a critical moment. You do not, if it is a close game against the Chiefs or the Ravens next week or the Texans, we have enough drops on display now. If you're on a final drive in the last 2 minutes and you want to draw a play up and you've got a, what play do we like here, you are not calling a pass play to James Cook.
Let's just treat it like we treat other plays that don't succeed. They're just establishing it. They're just establishing that pass. Later in the game, they'll go back to it. It'll work.
Mm-hmm.
Brian in Lackawanna. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How are you? Good morning.
Morning, Brian.
Hey, I was watching the game last night like everybody else, and I was wondering if anybody else saw the same thing that I did. And to me, it looked like Josh Allen was playing with a chip on his shoulder that I haven't seen since the end of last year. I think that he was personally pretty offended that all of the talk throughout the offseason was how much he might struggle without Stephon Diggs. And I think last night, Josh is too good of a guy to say it out loud. But I think last night was a statement game. I think he was intentional about spreading the ball around, about spreading the touchdowns around. And he had a fire in his eyes the first few drives when he needed to. And I think he put the league on notice that he's going to be fine without a clear number one. I mean, everyone else played well in the game, but that's what I saw from Josh. I don't know what you guys think. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
I want to find how the numbers compare on that. Because so far, Khalil Shakir, I mean, he's double any other receiver on the team in targets. So I'm not saying he's as good as Stephon Diggs was, but I'll try to find, a lot of these sites don't have their numbers updated yet. Where does Khalil Shakir's target share rank in the league? Will be an interesting question going forward, because so far, I don't know, among the receivers, it is not 10, 8, 7, 5, it is 14 and then 7.
Yeah.
He's double the rest. So that is, he might not be a number one in the league yet, he is their number one receiver. Undoubtedly. He is their number right now, he's their number one receiver.
Yep. Yeah, and we've talked a lot about this exact issue. And, you know, athletes can use a lot of different things to motivate them. In the case of Josh, it just might be he loves playing football. And I mean, did he listen to people that said he wouldn't be the same without a number one? Maybe. I also think it's possible the Bills' entire existence is not a Stephon Diggs revenge tour. I don't mean that to, like, I think it's possible that they can just be a team and do the things they're doing, and it doesn't always have to be something about Diggs. I mean, Gabe Davis was in that game last night. And he and Gabe shook hands and hugged at midfield, and then Davis went out and got 18 yards on 6 targets, which is something we saw him do a lot here. Like, part of the shortcomings of previous offenses, that guy was part of the shortcomings of those offenses. And what they have now is a better designed offense than they probably had the last year and a half under Ken Dorsey. So,
did you notice he got booed last night?
Gabe?
Yeah.
I did not notice that.
He caught a pass, and it was like a, you know, I was like, oh.
Did Mitch
Morse? Is that natural?
Did Mitch Morse get booed?
If he had caught a football, maybe.
Well, I mean, he holds it on every play. Be a lot of booing.
Uh-huh. Gabe Davis did get booed. I was all in right. The crowd, and it was loud. Louder than I expected.
Is that just, though, heat of the moment? Hey, guy on the other team, or guy that used to be on our team, caught a pass. Oh, what do? We boo him.
I felt weird. I was wearing my Gabe Davis jersey, and I didn't know if I should, like, turn it inside out or something. Everyone was booing, and I got nervous.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Bills win. A big, big blowout win. Statement victory for a Victory Tuesday for us to talk about. You can give us a call. More phone calls. We'll bang through them. Open segment for you. Coming up, Sal's jumping in at 8. Chris Brown at 8:30. Victory Tuesday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Here's the snap, fakes the handoff, going to roll to his left, has time, throws deep over the middle, he overshoots Thomas, intercepted by DeMar Hamlin, coming the other way to the 45 as he races to the far sideline and is tackled at the 41-yard line by Farrell. Here's the snap, fakes the handoff, going to roll to his left, has time, throws deep over the middle, he overshoots Thomas, intercepted by DeMar Hamlin, coming the other way to the 45 as he races to the far sideline and is tackled at the 41-yard line by Farrell.
Chris Brown on the call, we'll call that the play of the game, the DeMar Hamlin interception. Great moment for him, Monday Night Football. Bills win, and some stats for you here. I'll get you some stats because one of them was on Spencer Brown, which I liked quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
Next Gen Stats had something on Spencer Brown.
Was he? I think he was matched up with Josh Allen Hines a lot yesterday.
Spencer Brown did not allow a single pressure on 35 pass blocking snaps.
Wow.
His third straight game without allowing a pressure this season. He is the only offensive lineman league wide with at least 25 pass-blocking snaps and zero pressures allowed.
Wow, really?
So just to recap that, no offensive lineman has had 25 snaps and had zero pressures.
Yeah.
And he has done 3 straight games without allowing a pressure.
Holy cow.
That extension looking good right now.
Yeah. Also, looking back real quick, he was matched up with Trayvon Walker.
Okay.
Which still, like, number one overall pick in the league, didn't have a pressure last night against him. $18 million a year doesn't sound so bad all of a sudden.
That's right. Well, that's, you know, a part of the point here is as the Bills move into this next Josh Allen window, we're finding who the core guys are. And Spencer Brown got a contract extension, and we already know Ed Oliver got one. And the next couple, I mean, people are talking today about Christian Benford and Khalil Shakir. Like, these guys got to be here.
Yeah. Rousseau probably is going to be on that list, too.
Yes.
But
yes.
Benford...
Benford
is... This is his season so far for me. Like, on defense, like, he is... The whole secondary, having the names that are on that secondary continue to play well is a feat in itself. It's a feat that they... Benford as a 6th-round pick, I don't know that that's system. There is a lot, I'm sure, that is system that is helping him, you know, thrive. But there are plays on the ball he makes. There are tackles he makes. Like, there is just there is talent there. That it goes beyond, oh, no, he's just in the... It's just the system. The system helps a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I think Benford's a legitimately good player that's worth a second contract, the way it's looking right now. Separation prevented. He's, like, top 5 in the league this year, and last year he was, like, top 10.
803-0550 to join us. It is a Victory Tuesday after the Bills hammer the Jaguars in what is a party at the stadium. They now go on the road for a couple of games, and I'll save this for tomorrow. You were out of the room. I was just telling Josh I'm going to put this up as a Twitter poll. I'll save this.
Okay.
Ravens, Texans, Jets, all three road games in a row. Which one do you want the most? Which win do you want the most? Because
right.
We know, because you know what the right answer should be, and you know what's going to win that poll, right?
I know what's going to win the poll.
And it's not really the right answer.
You know, I don't know. Maybe it won't win the poll.
We'll find out.
I'm hopeful it actually won't win the poll. Oh, you had to tease that now. All right, tomorrow.
Today's a day to, hey, Victory Tuesday. Yeah. We got to bask in it.
Yes.
The Bills have 4 out of 5 on the road. Ravens, Texans, Jets, home for the Will Levis experience, and then off to Seattle.
What is this defense going to do to Will Levis?
Oh, my God.
That game is going to be amazing.
Yes, they should flex it. They should flex it to prime time.
Yes.
You're going to want to see what Will Levis does. Ed in Orlando. Hey, Ed, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Number one, Spencer Brown. I love the guy because he plays with a 1970s nastiness to him. And it's old school football, and I love how he plays with that tenacity. But I wanted to call about Shakir. I thought he was the toughest guy on the field yesterday. That collision at the goal line, I thought, oh, my God, he's done. I mean, his legs got taken out at the goal line, and the way that he bounced up after that vicious hit. And remember, I think the Jags got flagged for 15 yards on a hit on Shakir as well. So yeah. Every time Shakir touched the ball, he got leveled, and he bounced back up and gave Josh those yards after catch. And I tell you what, he has really impressed me. You talked about in the earlier segment how he has yards after catch compared to Cole Beasley. You're absolutely spot on. He's one of my new favorite players, and I'm glad to see that he's coming into his own.
Yeah. Thanks, Ed. I mean, I mentioned the name Amon-Ra St. Brown as a comparison that someone made in the preseason. I thought, like, that's asking quite a bit. But playing that style where you're not the biggest guy, but you're going to play like one of the toughest guys, that is super fun and easy to get behind. Alan raved about Shakir yesterday, talked about how love him as a football player, how he loves the game so much. Like, there's so much to like about Shakir. And, you know, like, sometimes I'm guilty of it. It takes a little while. He got drafted to the 5th-round pick. Some thought he should have gone the 3rd. You're like, okay, sure. Everybody says that about their 5ths. And it's a little bit of a slow burn. And then last year, it blossomed. And now it's like to the moon. Right?
Yeah.
You could say all you want about everybody eats. More games like the ones we've seen halfway through the season by the playoffs, aren't we going to say make sure Shakir gets 10 touches in this game? If he averages 8 yards after catch per reception,
he's almost getting you an extra first down per catch.
Yeah. 803-0550.
The real quick numbers. This is not updated through last night's game, but the point will remain because this number actually might even go up after last night. Allen, yak per pass attempt. So receiver yards after catch per his pass attempt. By year, starting in 2019, 3.2. 2020, he is under 3.2 again. 2.8 in 2021, 3.4 in 2022, never above 4. It's always between 2.5 to 3.5 yards after catch per pass attempt. This year, he was at 5.1 going into last night's game. And like, he was 75% higher on that number going into the game. And again, I think that number might even go up after last night.
Well, this gets back to, I never needed them to become that team. Part of the reason that number is so low before is they used to throw the ball a lot further down the field. It's just, you know, right. It got air yards instead.
Guys are working back to the football. And
yeah. Again, like, it's where I still think they lost sight of something when Dorsey decided we have to be a yak team, and they started to try and build like that, and then Brady came in and made it happen. Like, Brady did the thing they wanted to do. If it's the, you know, the new offense where you have to throw it shorter. Every one of these quarterbacks has had to throw it shorter, whether that's Mahomes or Allen or Burrow. It's part of the game now, right? Teams are making you do that, and you want to get explosive plays through yak yards, yards after catch yards. I know it's redundant. You don't have to tweet me about it. But to have that succeeding, they've been chasing it, and they finally seem to have the formula, which is obviously very good. 803-0550 to join us. If you're on hold, we'll get you on the other side. We'll get a break in, so we have a good, healthy segment when we come back. Sal, top of the hour, arrows up, arrows down. Chris Brown, 830. Man, 3-0. They are underdogs on Sunday Night Football?
Really? No, that's not a big surprise, right? At Baltimore?
Well, get ready for the Derrick Henry test.
What is it, 1 point?
Derrick Henry threw a man through the center of the earth on Sunday.
Yep.
It was worse
that
than
was the Cowboys. They let everybody do that.
That is true. That is true. All right. Jeremy and Joe, happy Victory Tuesday. It's Football Tuesday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Cook gets the handoff, going to try to get the corner. He's got it to the five and to the front pylon. He's in for a touchdown. A 7-yard touchdown run. James Cook's fourth in his last two games. And the Bills are on the board first here in the first quarter.
We all know my last start on Monday Night Football and how that game went. So to be able to come all the way back from that and to have a special moment like that, you know, it's all God right there, you know. So, you know, I've been giving him the praise like crazy lately, you know, because it wasn't easy. I'm super thankful to my teammates for just the support and the love, you know, that it was encouraging. And it makes all the emotions way easier when you just go out there and you think about, I just want to make plays for my teammates. It makes it all simple again.
Damar Hamlin had an interception. Bills win and embarrass the Jaguars, who have fallen to 0-3. Losses to Miami, Cleveland, and the Bills. We get some phone calls in this segment, 803-0550. Sal joins us top of the hour. We'll also hear Sean McDermott's victory speech, post-game victory speech coming up. Victory Tuesday here on WGR. Big win. Bill on a sell. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Hey, listen, a lot of firsts last night. Hamlin's first interception, amazing. I bought a jersey for the first time in my life. I'm a 67-year-old guy, Bills fan. I thought about getting Kemp's jersey way back. I thought about Kelly. Never did it. But I got Josh Allen's jersey, man. That guy, amazing. Our GM is number one. Come on, Bean, you're kidding. What a team they put together. And except one thing, they got no kicker, which they should get the UB kicker. This guy, he could take him a long way. But I got to tell you something. That defense, I mean, McDismet, I mean, he's got a defense now, and it's legit. And, you know, you can say it's the system, but they got talent. Those guys got talent. And when somebody has to step up, they put them in, and they step up. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. I mean, it's always going to take talent. They've got talent on that defense. They've got depth. They've got talent. Their corners are good. The safety position has been one we've wondered about. How could they come through with the changes at safety and the injuries? Like Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop missing most of the preseason. Like, how can they come through at safety? And they're just doing the job.
I think it's helpful when you have at least two position groups where it looks like a legitimate strength.
Yeah,
and like their defensive line is a strength, and their boundary corners is absolutely a strength.
And their linebackers would be if they were healthy, and
right.
Still they got the job done.
But that's what I mean. Like, I think it's helpful to be. You know, I shouldn't fully go in on that. I'm sure Baylen Spector, Dorian Williams, Damar Hamlin, Taylor Rapp, I think it's all their jobs are made easier by how strong the players are around them. But it's a lot of guys.
Yeah.
It's a lot of replacement guys. Dorian Williams yesterday, Travis Etienne had a wheel route, one-on-one, exact look the Jaguars would have wanted to the end zone. I don't think the throw was perfect, but Dorian Williams was right with Travis Etienne. That's what you want, right? The offense is drawing up a play. Let's get Travis Etienne on one of their backup linebackers. And Dorian Williams is right there in his space in the end zone. Like, he didn't get beat. James Cook beat a linebacker on the one he dropped. It wasn't the same. So they do deserve some credit for sure.
Jaguars came in leading the league in explosive play rate. And
did they have one?
I mean, that's what the Bills do. The Bills have done this for 8 years. Give Sean McDermott and his staff and his system its flowers, because it's a story in the league how teams are now limiting explosive plays. And it's literally what the Bills have been built out of the whole time. This is what they're experts at. Jay in Hamilton, quickly before the break. Hey, Jay.
You got guys, I'll be real quick. I felt like I was a human version of that Jack Nicholson meme on Twitter from The Departed, where you're just shaking your head and smiling from ear to ear that whole game. Incredible. I think what I've taken from last night's game, and this builds into the clear Shakir comment I wanted to make, but overall, trust. I'm looking at a team last night, guys, that are trusting in the plays. They're trusting in each other. McDermott's trusting in his team to go forward on 4th and 3 in the first drive, which blew my mind. I think when you have that built into a team as talented as they seem to be with quality coaching and that centaur and Josh Allen, if you've got a team that trusts each other in everything, the sky's the limit. And I think for the next 5 games, I'm looking forward to seeing exactly who the Buffalo Bills are. And I just can't wait for this to see the end of this movie. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Jay. You know, thinking about trust, I wonder the process of their fourth down call there. I was not shocked to see them go for it. McDermott has been pretty good at this. He is one of the more aggressive slash numbers-based coaches on these decisions. And with a change at coordinator, you have to make sure you trust the play they're going to call. I can remember McDermott getting mad at Daboll for calling a pitch out on a fourth down, right? He didn't like the call. They ended up looking stupid because it was some wide pitch or something. And this is, it's years ago. Sorry, it's a pretty deep pull. Here you have Brady. Do they meet during the week saying, like, listen, if we've got like a 4th and 5, I got a call. We're going to play that Shakir orbit motion, or we ran it before, and then it'll match up perfectly against these guys. They won't have an answer for it. And if it doesn't work, Josh can, you know, bail it over here. Like, the trust, to trust the numbers on that, to trust the play call around that. What the offense has looked like is like a unit that is well put together, well schemed, and has enough talent right now. They still might get tested by better defenses, but man, it's been really impressive. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Gabe Davis and Mitch Morse looking across, thinking what? I mean, they both wanted to stay. And now they're on an 0-3 Jags team. Tough. Tough for them. Former captains. Sal Capaccio, when we get back, we'll take your calls with Sal. Arrow ups and arrows down. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday on a Tuesday. Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Allen back to pass, looking right, now over the middle, complete to Shakir, races away from the defender, 10-5, spins into the end zone for the touchdown. What a race to the end zone by Khalil Shakir.